And she said that, you know, all the terms like from like a birth she was using, she's like, the, you know, the tree is dilated 4 leaves apart. And
What? Do you love the outdoors?
Do you love to travel?
Do you love finding hidden treasures in towns all over the USA? Hi, I'm Joshua.
And I'm Craig, and welcome to Treasures of Our Town, the podcast that takes you on a journey to explore the unique and charming towns scattered throughout the United States.
Join us as we venture into some of the country's most intriguing destinations, uncovering hidden gems and local secrets along the way.
On today's episode, Josh, we have a very special guest from the geocaching community. You know her well, and like this podcast, geocaching has actually guided her travels.
And you know what else has guided her travel? The Appalachian Trail.
Oh, it has, it has, it has. So we'll get to her very shortly, very, very shortly. She's on the back burner, Josh. She's on the back burner.
Yes, she is.
Because I need to talk about what we've done first. This last couple of weeks, we've been busy,
my gosh.
Both of us.
I haven't talked to you for a while. You've been busy with other podcasts. You've been cheating on this podcast. This is podcast infidelity.
It's I'm sorry, Josh, but yes, there's enough of me to share around. We'll just say
I guess. And I have been enjoying the infidelity, actually.
Thank you. Oh, really? Wow. That sounds next level. So if you don't know, guys, I've actually been hosting another podcast. It's the official Munzee podcast. And Munzee, Josh, is just another geolocation game, like geocaching, but it's more points-based. I think you said it in one of our previous vlogs or previous videos. What do you call it? Podcasts. I'm getting confused already. You said, like, if Pokemon Go and geocaching had a child,
it'd kind of be like Munzee. Munzee's whimsical. You capture unicorns and cyclops and it's very similar. It's a lot of fun.
It's points-based
game.
It's points-based. Yep. Now, if those people don't know, Josh, I am one of your referrals, so you get points for actually referring people as well, which is very different to geocaching. Can you imagine if geocaching was points-based, Josh? Your points would be like triple what you've got now.
Yeah, I have no idea how many people I've referred to geocaching.
No, exactly.
They don't have those records.
No, but Munzee does.
Yes,
so, Josh, just to let you know, you don't know this either, but I've been creeping up on you in Munzee too. I'm less than 900,000 away from you now. Wow.
I know. I better step it up. And now so you're on the podcast.
Wow. Yeah, with Rob, the official president of Munzee. So that's pretty cool. Guys, if you're into Munzee, go and have a look at the official Munzee podcast as well with Rob and myself. So, Josh, what about you? Did you like get another year older?
Da-da-da-da-da. It was my birthday. That's all that's happened.
Yeah. And what, 40, 45 was it, or 40?
Something like, I'm 40 or something.
Oh, did I'm I cut older than you. I'm
did
older
I cut
than
out?
You. Yeah, you did. You cut out. I'll edit that out. So don't worry about that.
Yes, it was my birthday.
Congratulations. Happy birthday, Josh.
Thank you. It was, it was kind of low key,
My
birthday happened on a weekend and my wife works on the weekend. So I did some fun things. I did all the fun things I like to do. People are asking me, what are you going to do with your birthday? And I said, anything I want. And that's what I did.
And that involved Goliath, I take it.
Because I went to the mall and I got a massage.
Oh, really?
I got a mall massage.
Did you go to the Mall of America?
No, it wasn't the Mall of America. It was a different mall. But I've never had a massage at the mall before. Mm-hmm. It was a unique experience. I wanted to experience something new. So that's what I did.
And then
I found a geocache. I always find a geocache on my birthday.
Well, you have to.
Yeah.
It's a given thing. Yes. What else have I been up to? Let's see. My bird photography. I'm back into that again.
That's cool.
I got a new lens, Josh. A new lens. Seriously, this lens is huge.
Yeah.
Huge lens.
And you just walk around taking pictures of birds.
Wildlife, but not just birds nowadays. I'm actually into different types of photography, such as, ready for this, Josh? Ready for this? I'm going to get all fancy.
Sure.
Texture photography.
Wow, that sounds fancy.
Nature's texture, like the bark of trees or the fungus along a branch or that sort of thing. So nature's texture, Josh, not just
you see
birds.
Beauty in everything. I love that.
Exactly. That's why I'm friends with you. I see the beauty in you as well.
I bet you Katie has seen some pretty cool birds in her day.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. She's from Georgia too, Josh, Katie.
Yeah.
She's from Georgia.
What's been happening? Georgian birds.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't you get a gift or something from Georgia?
Did I get a gift?
Yeah,
from Georgia. Gift. Oh yeah, I got a gift.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a gift. It was just kind of like surprise mail.
It's in the show notes. You should know. It's in the
I
show
know.
Notes.
I got a package. People just sometimes send me packages. And the funny thing is this package got sent to my work.
Oh, really?
How cool. Like, somebody hunted me down and found out where I work.
Don't you have your work address as your package place?
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
It's that's better you, that people know where
you.
I work.
What did probably. You get? What did you get? You got
a bag filled with smashed pennies.
Smashed pennies?
Have you ever seen smashed pennies? Like pennies that are smashed. They're literally smashed.
I know this. I see machines out there. Like I was in Niagara Falls a couple of weeks ago, months ago now, and there was like this machine there where you can put a, I think it's like a, you know, a dollar in or $2 in, and you put the wheel down and spits out this penny. But they actually bend them as well, the pennies. Like they're bent and squashed.
Yes, they do.
That's the one.
So it was filled with smashed pennies, and they had like someone had the geocaching logo on them. Mm-hmm. Some had like a mountain scene that said, "Not all who wander are lost," and all this stuff. Yep, yep. And then I turned some of them over, and she burned into the back of it, like the smooth side of it. Yeah. She burned the geocaching logger logo.
What?
It was so cool.
You get all the good stuff.
I know.
You get all the good stuff.
It was cool. And so I just want to give a shout out. So this podcast is not sponsored.
Nope.
We are only sponsored by our patrons. Mm-hmm. We want Texas Roadhouse to sponsor us. Mm-hmm. Miller High Life.
I'm wearing that hat.
All the things we like, we want them to sponsor us, but they won't. That's okay. So this isn't like a sponsored thing, but I thought since smashingpennies.net gave me a whole bag of smashing pennies, and I thought it was connected to kind of travel because, you know, when my kids were little, every time we went to a different place, they were like, "Dad, do you have 2 quarters and a penny?" So they could smash it, you know, and get like, Niagara Falls or, you know, Mount Rushmore on a smash on a penny. And they actually had a little book.
And cool.
Yeah, they had a book filled with like, and it was just like a little thing for them to remember their travels.
That's really cool. Well, you know, I researched this a little bit, Josh, because in Australia and probably here as well, it's actually illegal for someone to disintegrate or tear apart notes, coin, currency, that sort of thing. But there's a loophole, not a loophole, but there's a law in your constitution or whatever, that smashed pennies can actually, they're actually legal tender. So you can physically smash a penny and not get in trouble. So
I know, it's legit. And it's legit. Maybe that's part of our national debt problem. We're just destroying our money.
Exactly.
I'm curious. I'm going to bring Katie in right now. Katie,
yes.
Do you collect smash pennies, or have you ever collected smash pennies in your life?
Yes, I have. But you know, I don't carry quarters. I don't carry cash or anything anymore. So I have to like go exchange. But yeah, I have. I've actually done one like pretty recently.
Really? Where was it?
It was at like somewhere in North Georgia. I think it was Dahlonega, maybe. Yeah, it was Dahlonega, Georgia. There's like a general store, and there's a machine inside. You can just do the roll the thing, smash them out.
It's really fun to smash them.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Josh, before you go on, Josh, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I'd like to welcome you. Welcome you, Katie Howard, from the Geocaching Katie YouTube channel. You've been on and off the YouTube channel for a while now, which is pretty cool. I see you've been along the Appalachian Trail, etc. Yeah. We're going to dive deep into what you've been up to, your travels, and of course, you're from Georgia because that's where the link to Georgia was as well. So I'm actually officially now welcome you to the podcast. So welcome.
Thank y'all. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Can we get back to smashing pennies? I know this whole podcast isn't about it, but I think that's the funnest part of the whole collecting the smashing pennies is to smash it. Because you're actually, as you turn that crank, you're actually smashing it.
Yeah.
Like I thought when I was a kid, I thought it was just a gimmick, right? You put a penny in and then they like already had some smash pennies in there and then they just like fell out. No, you're actually smashing them.
Yeah. Have you ever put pennies on like the railroad track? Smashing that way.
Have you ever done that? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird because they don't come out with really cool designs that way for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know why.
It's just smashed.
But you're right, Katie. That is a problem because last time I saw a smash penny machine, I was like, I want to do the smash penny machine, but I don't carry quarters with me. Like sometimes I might have a penny. Mm-hmm. So like they need, you know what they should do? This is a great idea. I'm going to give people the smashing penny, whoever does it. They should have like, you know how they have like card readers? Like you should be able to do a card reader.
They actually, I've seen one of those before.
What?
Yeah.
Is this?
Yeah. And I actually accidentally, like, because it was a tap too. Like I didn't have to swipe the card. I tapped it and it gave me every single design that was available and it charged me like 10 bucks. So I had like a pile of smashed pennies.
I think that sounds like it was worth it.
It was.
You sound like your childhood, Josh, was very destructive.
Yeah. I know.
Childhood.
I know. Anyway, to wrap this up, if you'd like to check out smashingpennies.net, go to smashingpennies.net. And you can get a bunch of smashed pennies. And it, and for geocachers, and let's be honest, a lot of people listen to this podcast are geocachers. Mm-hmm. It's great. This is great swag. People, if you see something like that, a unique design on it, it would be a cool thing to trade out. So that's all I have to say.
I've seen people, Josh, as well, use them with their, they attach them to their sticks, their hiking sticks, like their timber wood sticks. Yeah. And I've seen them do that too. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Speaking of hiking stick.
Exactly right. Did you like that? That was a lead in. Nice.
Katie Howard is maybe the only person I know in real life that has through hiked the Appalachian Trail all the way from Georgia, which we're going to be talking about later, all the way to Maine.
Yep.
And so the last time I talked to you, Katie, was on Geocache Talk about a year ago.
Yeah.
And I would love to hear a life update. How have you been since then?
I haven't uploaded anything. I haven't been.
You
on,
haven't? Oh.
Like not on YouTube. It's been a transition back into like, we used to call it like the matrix, you know, like getting back into like working full time again. And like, I don't know, but it's really great. Like, staying in contact with all the friends I've made.
That's cool.
So yeah, that's like the best thing that happened from the trail is friends. Yeah.
Yeah. Any of the friends that hiked the trail, did they like, after they finished, were like, I'm giving up hiking for life. I'm done. I'm burnt out.
Nobody that I know. Everyone was kind of like, when can I do it again?
Okay.
Yeah.
So they caught the bug.
Yeah.
Can you give me a little bit of a rundown, Katie? Because obviously I'm not from America, obviously, by the accent. Appalachian Trail, like how long is it? How many days did it take you to actually walk? And you started, I'm being right there. You started from the very start of it in Georgia.
Yeah.
And you walked all the way through. Wow.
Yeah. So it starts in North Georgia. I did the approach trail too. So it started at Amicalola Falls. And then you go all the way up the eastern side of the United States to Maine. It's about 2,200. Like they keep changing it. They like reroute it every year in some sections. So it's about 2,200 miles. And it took about 6 months to do.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's insane. That's dedication, Josh. That's more dedication than I have.
Right. Totally. And the cool thing is you documented your whole trip on YouTube, which was really impressive. It's like one thing like to spend a whole day hiking, but then when you're done, like, okay, now I'm going to edit what just happened.
I know. Yeah, that was hard. That was really hard to keep up with it, but it was worth it. So now I can like look back.
So Katie, you said it's 6 months, but is that 6 months straight, like day after day after day walking?
Yeah, we took breaks.
Wow.
We definitely took lots of breaks. Every like towards the end, every town we would. I love small towns, like just anywhere in the United States. I love them; they're so charming. And so, any town I came to, I was like, "We have to stop. I have to check it out."
Well, that's why we wanted to have you on the show, because I don't think I know another person who's probably visited as many small towns than you have. And, you know, that's what this podcast is all about, is finding some of those like hidden gems that people don't always think of. And we're going to talk about some of those hidden gems in Georgia. But I would love to hear maybe one or two of the towns that was just really surprising to you, that some of your favorite towns, and why were they some of your favorite towns on the AT trail?
Let's see. Hot Springs, North Carolina, that the trail goes straight through the town. So like the sidewalk has like the AT symbol on it, and that's part of the trail. And there's just a really awesome, hostel called, Laughing Heart. And so that was, and it's just super charming. There's like a, like a bar and a restaurant and like the post office and a Dollar General, and that's pretty much it. And like there's like a creek that goes through it. And we actually, they have natural hot springs, but we didn't get a chance to like do that at all. And it snowed when we were there, so we stayed inside a lot of the time. But it's it's a cute town, and I just remember having a lot of fun just running around. And it's very hiker friendly too.
Yeah. Is it one of those towns where like the population is severely increases because of just the amount of foot traffic through the town?
Yeah. And it's still pretty early on. So like, there's still a lot of people on trail because it does kind of thin out once you get later on further north.
Through the snow.
Yeah.
Are there any other towns that just really come to your mind? I mean, I know you spent 6 months. I'm sure it's all just like,
I know. And they kind of blur together. Like some of them, I don't remember the names, but there was one town where we stayed, the VFW, the in town, they let us sleep in our tents on their yard. And across the street was like the grocery store, and everything was like within walking distance, and it was super cool. Yeah.
Wow.
That's insane. And so therefore then obviously you take your food, like not your food, but your cooking equipment with you.
Yeah.
You take your tents, you're hiking, you're literally physically hiking with everything on your back, but you can stop at these stores to actually grab supplies as such.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
What sort of weight were you carrying on your backpack on for that whole time?
I, you know, out of the group I was hiking with, I think I had the heaviest pack just based on some of like my equipment was a little heavier. And then I think 34 pounds was about as heavy as it got. But that was usually like carrying like 6 days of food was like a lot. So I think that was as heavy as it got. 34 pounds.
Wow. That's like carrying a large toddler on your back.
Yeah,
the whole
for
way,
6 months.
Like, 6 months straight. No, thank you.
I know. Yeah.
Do you have any after the trail? Do you have any like health effects on your body for that, or have you fully recovered?
I think like there's some lingering like joint things that like I think I have now that I didn't have before. Like mostly it's like a foot, like my foot, there's still some like weird issues, but like other than that, I feel like, well, and then just like going from like having to eat like 2000 plus 3000 calories a day almost to like maintain like all the calories we were burning. And then to go from that to not was kind of drastic. So it did, it like the health effects are definitely like, I'm sure they were, and we were eating great like food. We were eating like a lot of ramen noodles, a lot of sodium.
Right.
So yeah, I'm sure there's a study on, there needs to be a study on through hikers after they're done, because this can't be good.
And if you don't know Katie herself and you haven't seen her videos, they're all on YouTube, and we'll talk about that in a second. But she is a young lady, Josh. She's not like an old person like you and I.
Yeah.
You know, she's a young lady. So, Katie, you obviously recommend if you're going to do the Appalachian Trail to do it when you're younger, when you're more fit, when you have less ailments that can happen. Is that right?
I mean, probably. You'd be surprised. Like the people, like I hiked with a woman who's in her 60s. And she finished, and I mean, she was staying with us. I mean, sometimes she'd come in later at night, but there was a lot of age ranges out there, but usually it was like young people coming out of college or like in between high school and college. And then there was like kind of a gap. And then it was like retired people or people coming out from the military and stuff.
Yes.
So there was some like middle age gaps for sure. Just because
that makes
like
sense.
People working and life.
Or raising children. Or,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I don't think I asked you this last time. I'm really curious about this. Do people through hike with their like dogs? Are there dog through hikers?
Yes.
Really?
There's, so you can't hike with a dog through the Smoky Mountains. And and then like at the end in Maine, you can't hike Baxter State Park with your dog either. So a lot of people will like, you can like board your dog while you go through those sections. But yeah, we were around a bunch of really cute dogs, and they were super well behaved. But they had to carry, like the dogs themselves would carry some of their food, like in their little backpacks. Cause they also had little backpacks. Yeah, it was cute. But, I mean, I had a lot of respect for those people, cause it was just like extra. It's like a whole nother thing to worry about.
Josh is just thinking about like walking with Goliath. You know, you have a hard time just finding a geocache with him and keeping his attention span just finding a geocache. Yeah. Like squirrel. Yeah. Can you imagine him actually walking the trail?
I go around the block and sometimes halfway he just gives up. He won't walk anymore. He's like, I'm done. Carry me.
Oh, he's the cutest dog. I've met him in person now. Aww. Like, and I can say he was one of my favorite moments of actually going to Josh's place and meeting Josh. I met his wife, I met his kids, the whole lot. No, sorry, Goliath, you're my favorite, buddy. You're my favorite, mate. Meeting you.
All right, let's put a pin in the Appalachian mm-hmm. Trail because we want to really focus this episode about Georgia. And yes. I'll be honest with you, I don't know much about Georgia, but I have one last question for you around hiking, Katie. Yes. And maybe I should ask you this at the end, but I'm just really curious. What's your next adventure as it relates to Katie? Yeah. I know last time we talked, we were talking about the Pacific Crest Trail. Do you have any plans or is there anything in sight as you are still a young person?
Yeah.
And you could just walk across the earth. do you have any plans coming up in the next few years? What are you thinking?
You know, the PCT is still in the works. I'm saving a lot right now, trying to get ready for that. So that's as soon as we can get that done. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
PCT, is that the Pacific Coast Trail? That was cool.
Yeah.
Because I'll put a link, as always, Josh, I'll put links to everything in the show notes. So all this Appalachian Trail, the Pacific Coast Trail, I'll put links in the show notes as well. Obviously, Katie's YouTube channel and everything as well, too. So
Have you ever seen the movie Wild? What's the actress? Reese, why am I not thinking?
Reese Witherspoon. Yeah,
that wasn't in the show notes. You can tell.
It's my daughter's name. I can't believe I didn't remember. But that's based on the Pacific Crest Trail.
Right. Now I get it. Fair enough. Josh, are we going to get to Georgia?
Oh, you know what? Georgia's on my mind, and I don't know much about Georgia. I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to spit out the three things I know about Georgia. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Coca-Cola, number one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. No, Coca-Cola. Number two.
I have strong opinions about that too.
I know. You love your Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola. Number two. You ready? Number two.
Yeah.
The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yes.
I want to ask Katie about that because I know she's been to some of the shooting locations of The Walking Dead.
And that should be finished by now, but it's not. But anyway, that's my opinion.
Number three, Rome, Georgia, which is home of Going Caching.
I haven't been yet.
Cute little
those are my three. And there's there's peaches. Lots of peaches, I've heard. Mm-hmm. So
But actually more peanuts than peaches.
Really?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do those like boiled peanuts or something? Like,
yes. And you know what? If you're driving through Georgia and you see a sign that says boiled and then the peanut is spelled like P-nut. That's when you know they're going to be good. Like it can't be spelled correctly. It has to be like on the side of a road. And like the thing that they make it in has to look like about 150 years old. And you know they're going to be good.
It just looks like a trashy thing. And Oh, wow. What is a boiled peanut? Like, what is it like? How is it different than a regular peanut?
Oh, it's so good. Have you had them? Have you like?
Never. I've never had a boiled peanut.
Okay. You can get them in cans, but that's like. Don't the best ones are like I said roadside. It's like they just put them in a thing full of water and salt and they boil them and they're like smushy.
Ew.
I know it doesn't sound like and they're hot when they come out right as they're like it's so good. But I know a lot of people
salty?
Don't like, they're very salty. Yeah.
Okay, that sounds decent.
Yeah. And some of them are like Cajun flavored that are like have a little spice to them, but I like the regular boiled peanuts.
I'm just looking at the moment right now online, of course.
Okay, yes.
The boiled peanuts.
Yeah.
They look absolutely delicious. And you know
they
what? On my TikTok account, I'm talking probably about a month ago now, I went through an algorithm of boiled peanuts because I was impressed with this guy boiling peanuts and he shows you how he does it. I wanted a big wooden like a kettle and a witch.
Yes.
Like a big witch.
That's what I'm saying. It has to look really old. That's when they're good.
Yeah. Yeah, they call it a crock pot, Josh. They call it a crock pot. There you go. And I'm looking online as well. I bet there's Southern Living. Southern Living has a boiled peanuts crock pot recipe online. So you can actually boil your own.
Yeah.
And really the only ingredients in here, it says, is the raw peanuts in the shell. They've got to be in the shell.
Oh, yeah.
And kosher salt. So that's the only actually ingredients it actually says. I thought for sure it'd have some sort of Cajun sort of spices and whatnot.
Sometimes it does, but the classic ones just salt.
Classic, Josh. Mm-hmm. Classic. I like
it. So, Katie, were you born in Georgia?
No. So my dad is military, so I didn't move to Georgia until fourth grade.
Oh man, maybe we should end the podcast.
I know. I'm not a true look. When I first moved here, I was like, I don't know where I'm from. I don't know who I am.
But let's be real. The accent is very convincing that you're from Georgia.
Yeah, I am from Georgia. I claim it 100%.
I love it. So we have your top 10 list here. We're going to go through Katie's top 10 favorite places in Georgia. And we asked her to like think about some of like more of the hidden gems.
Yeah, I don't know if I got it.
Like, oh, these look great. These look great.
You know what? You know what, Josh? One thing that's not on there is Atlanta.
There's some Atlanta places in there, yeah.
Okay. Oh, there is, there is. Because I've been to Atlanta. I'm just saying, I've been to Atlanta.
Yeah. Is that where you are right now, Katie? Are you in Atlanta area?
So actually, I am not. I am moving soon, but that's more to come on that. But yeah, no, I'm not. I'm at my parents' currently. They live in Columbus, Georgia, so...
And where is Columbus?
Columbus is south of Atlanta, so it's about and it's on the Alabama Georgia border.
I see it. Now.
Have y'all heard of the song by Alan Jackson, "Chattahoochee"?
No. Living on down by the Chattahoochee. Da, 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 da. Is that how it goes?
That just like that.
We'll be down yonder on the Chattahoochee. It gets hotter than a hoochie coochie. We laid rubber on the Georgia asphalt. We got a little crazy, but we never got caught.
I don't know well, but I kind of, it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, that's Josh, where
straight
I'm
away,
from.
We know Katie.
You live in Katie. The Chattahoochee.
Way down yonder on the Chattahoochee.
We know she's from Georgia. She goes, y'all.
Oh, like, I
love that accent, Josh.
I know, you love it. You love the
Southern accent for me is like... You know, when people listen to me and they go, oh, I love Australian accent. Yeah, I'm the same with Southern.
Yeah, I love an Australian accent.
Why does nobody care about the Minnesotan accent up here north, you know?
Because you're not Canadian, Josh. You're Minnesotan. Oh, it's very different. Okay. Let's get to this. Let's get to the top 10, Josh. Okay. The top 10.
Are these in any certain order?
No, I want to make sure it's in no particular order.
Okay.
I had I felt a lot of pressure making this list. There's a lot of places in Georgia, so I'm not. I just
it's a big state, and you have been to all of it because that was another reason I wanted to have you on because you completed the Georgia County Challenge, correct?
Yes, I did.
So, Craig, she's been to every county in Georgia, which is like a lot. It's like over
159. Yeah.
I haven't even done the counties in New Jersey, and there's like 5 or 8.
So that's really insane. That's amazing, and that's documented on your YouTube channel as well. So that's that's why we wanted to have you on. I mean, Katie, you've been around.
Yes.
You know, you might not have been born there, but you've been probably more places in Georgia than most Georgians.
Yeah. I think so. Yeah.
Josh, I'll start with number one and ask Katie. You say Helen. In Georgia during Oktoberfest.
Yes.
Why is Oktoberfest in Helen, Georgia?
Helen, Georgia is in North Georgia. It's kind of like in the middle in North Georgia. And it looks like kind of a Bavaria, like what do you call it? Bavaria?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bavaria.
Yeah.
I've actually been to Bavaria.
Yeah. It looks like a miniature version of that. Yeah. All the, like, even the, you know, chain restaurants, like their buildings look like that in Helen, Georgia. And so during October and like the end of September, they have Oktoberfest and they've got just like, it's so much fun. I've been up there. I've like worn the dress and it's like the spot to be. And the food is good. They have like the band, the polka band. And so it's just so fun.
Oktoberfest celebrations are legit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I got to experience my very first Oktoberfest in Germany.
Yeah, so
and
jealous.
Oh, my gosh. it's just like, it's just people your age.
Yeah.
It's just a party and they're all just singing American songs. Like I was singing to the top of my lungs, holding a giant beer stein in a tent on a table. Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
I was just living my best life. Yeah. It's so funny because in America, it's like, it's mostly just like polka music and stuff. Yeah. But in Germany, everybody's wearing like the German garb. So you think it's old, but no, it's like, it's party time.
Yeah.
That's so fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking up Josh as well in regards to this. It looks beautiful and stunning. Yeah. And Josh, one thing I actually see that comes up, one of the first things you comes up on Google is the Georgia Mountain Coaster.
I've done that in Helen. Yeah,
in Helen.
It's
there's a
terrifying.
Roller coaster.
Yeah, it's like a mountain coaster that like where you get like into a little thing and they like take you up and gravity takes you down. And
I've seen stuff like that. Yeah, it's like it's cool because you kind of feel like you could die.
Yeah, it does feel like that. Yeah.
it's not quite safe like going to like Six Flags.
Well, no, yeah, like, it's no. You're like, in charge of your brakes too. Like if you have two people, the person in the front has to pull the brakes. And I've gone with someone who was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm like, yes, you are.
And so then it depends. And Josh, it's not a short thing either. This can go for anywhere between 7 to 10 minutes in length.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. I want to do really that cool. so bad. So that's really fun.
Yeah.
Where is Helen again? Where is it? You said north?
It's in North Georgia, kind of like right in the middle. So like it's probably like 2 hours, an hour and a half from Atlanta.
Mm.
If you just go straight up.
Is it really up north, the geography? Is it just a lot hillier? Like the start of the Appalachian Mountains. Is it like, because I know there's so many videos I've seen of you, and we'll get to it, going up a mountain.
Yeah,
it's like you live up in this mountain.
Yeah. North Georgia definitely gets like there's a lot of waterfalls and like it's kind of the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. So it's definitely mountainous and hilly.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So that's Helen, Georgia.
Yeah.
Josh, you want to do number 2.
All right. That sounds great.
Yeah.
Your list is already great. And that was only one.
Yeah.
All right. The next one. The only reason you want me to do this next one is because you're afraid to pronounce it.
No, Craig. I'm looking at down the list. I'm going to pronounce another one down the list. So.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Tallulah.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Tallulah. Oh, I have to say it like you. Sorry. Tallulah. Tallulah Gorge. Tallulah Gorge State Park.
Yep.
How was that?
And in particular, the Sliding Rock.
That's right. Oh.
I've been to a Sliding Rock in my day.
I've seen that video. Yeah.
You saw that?
Yeah.
That was in North Carolina. I love a good Sliding Rock. Tell us about it.
Yeah. So this kind of was like escaped me for so long because it's a permit system and they give 100 out a day. And if it rains, you can't go. Even a little bit of rain, because you have to hike down into this gorge. There's like a ton of steps. You get down to the gorge floor and then you have to keep hiking along the little river. And and so by the time I finally did it, like it was just amazing. I mean, you get down and then you walk a little bit and the rock, I think it's actually called Bridal Veil Falls, but they just call it the Sliding Rock. And you slide down and it's like perfect amount of moss where it doesn't hurt at all.
Yeah.
So you just slide right in. Yeah. It's awesome.
So you had a video about this, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that will be in the show notes. Craig will find it.
Absolutely.
And he'll put it there.
Absolutely.
To see what it's like. But you said it's kind of mossy, so it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
The rock's mossy. Does the moss slow you down?
No, it's fast. I mean, I think
it's fast.
Yeah, I think the one that you did, like, based on what I saw, I think it looked like it was longer. This one is like I feel like is like steep enough, but it's not super long. I don't know. It still plunges you in that water pretty fast.
Okay, but it drops you into like a pool of water.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. The one I did.
Looking at the photos, it looks super smooth. Like the rock face itself looks super smooth.
Yeah. That's kind of like the one I did. And it drops you into a pool. And that pool was like, It was like 15 feet deep. Yeah. It was crazy.
Yeah. Well, what, and after like doing it so long, you have like a rope that you have to like pull yourself up out of the water. And then my upper body started getting really sore. And then it's super slippery too when you get out. And I just kept slipping constantly.
Wow.
But it's fun. Wow.
So, so you get 100, they give 100 passes a day.
Yeah.
Is there, that sounds like a lot of pressure. Like if you were to go, how do you ensure that you get, you know, get the one of the 100? Do you have to just go really early?
Yeah. So we, one time we were like 101 and 102 in line and we didn't get them. Like we were the next two people and they'd already, and I was like, this is the worst because the first time it had rained and we were there on time. And then the second time we were like, just missed it. But a lot of people will line up in their cars before the gates even open to get in there. And then, so I finally figured out that if you camp at the state park, you can walk over there, to the like office where they give them the permits out and you can, I mean, I think we were there at like 6:30 and we just hung out.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there you go, Josh. We always talk, Katie, about giving people tips and tricks.
There it is.
Yeah.
There it is.
Yeah.
There's the biggest tip. The biggest tip so far, I think, of this whole thing is if you want to actually go to Tallulah Gorge State Park, yeah, you got to camp there overnight first. That's pretty cool. Can we move on to number three? I like number three.
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen number three so many times on Katie's channel. Like, I don't know how many videos you have of this spot. Oh, yeah. It was back in the day. I mean, we're talking maybe 5 years ago. It was like, whoa, she's back there again.
Yeah.
This is your happy place.
It is.
We're talking like, about.
It seems to me like this is, this is dark, but if this is a place that you would like, you don't want to spend your last hours, it seems like it might be here.
Mm-hmm.
And where we're talking about, because people still don't know because they don't have access to the notes, Josh, is the Stone Mountain at sunset.
Yes.
The Stone Mountain at sunset. And I'm looking at the images right now. Mm-hmm. And oh my goodness.
Yes.
Wow. Do you sit up top of this Stone Mountain and just gauge over the sun? The amount of people I see with their feet and the sunset on the top of the mountain is just insane.
Yeah. It's not a quiet place. It's very crowded normally. Yeah. But it was pretty close drive for me. And you get up to the top, it's like a mile up a rock pretty much. And you get to the top and you can see the Atlanta skyline and the distance and the sunset's always usually pretty good. I mean, the Stone Mountain itself, like there's some negative history with it just to put that out there. But, I think it's a really great spot to look out and see everything.
And looking at the photos, Josh, too, it's one of those things, you know, like Instagram versus reality. Like on Instagram, you see literally just one person's feet.
Right.
They look like they're the sole person on top of the on top of the rock itself, looking over this gorgeous sunset. But in reality, there's a million people doing the same thing, getting the same photo.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So how close is that to Atlanta? You said it was pretty close.
Yeah, I think probably like 30 minutes tops.
Depending. Oh, wow.
So well, it depends because on where, like based on where you are. Like I used to live in Decatur, which is still kind of Atlanta, and that was like 30 minutes, sometimes less. So
yeah,
it just depends.
And I remember many of the videos. I mean, there's geocaches on the way up too. So
they're everywhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah. That's cool. And you said the hike is it rocky or is it a trail up there? Or?
Yeah. Over the years I've learned there's a couple, like there's more remote ways to get up. There's like the main trail. It's like called the walk up trail. It is just a rock face pretty much. There's railings in some places. Like once you get closer to the top where you can like kind of help yourself up because it does get pretty steep. It's just rock and like roots and trees that you have to jump over. But then there's like some side trails that are like more wooded that are more private.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And there is a safety road going up one side too, slightly.
Yes. So I have seen a pickup truck drive up the side of that mountain. And I was like,
really?
I don't know why they were up there, but it was kind of strange to see because it's pretty steep to get like up towards the top. And so I just was confused.
And I know strenuous hikes are, that's just kind of relative to you. Cause you like now you've compared everything to the AT.
Yeah.
Is it a tough hike or is it like, how long does it take?
It's short. It's like, it's just 1 mile up and then 1 mile back down, but it is steep. It is very steep. Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll get your heart pumping if you're like maybe Craig and my age.
Oh, yeah. Definitely my age. Yeah, and definitely my size at the moment too. Like, yeah. Like when you took me to that little waterfall place there in where was that in? Not
that Minnesota, was in Wisconsin, that was in Willow Wisconsin. River.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was paved. It was paved.
Yeah, yeah, no, thank you.
All right, I'm going to go with the next one. It says here, back in the hiking world, the entire Georgia section of the AT.
I couldn't pick.
What makes the Georgia section so special?
Well, you know, it's my home state, but I couldn't pick. You know, I can pinpoint a couple things along the Georgia section that are pretty cool. There's a waterfall, and if you park at the Three Forks parking lot, you can go north on the trail, on the AT, and there's a waterfall, and it's pretty nice.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And then Amicalola Falls is beautiful, too.
So there's some nice waterfalls.
Mm-hmm. Again, Josh, I'm looking at the Appalachian Trail in Georgia on the maps itself. What sort of length do you think, Katie, is that just for the Appalachian Trail, that component itself, just in Georgia?
I think it's like 70 some miles, if I remember correctly. Miles. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
So did it take, it took you like 4 days to get through it or like 3 days?
I think in the beginning, that probably took me like a week because I was taking it really slow. It took me, the first section, I was like, this is hard. So it took me longer.
Hey, I never asked you this before as it relates to the Appalachian Trail. I know most people, they hike from Georgia to Maine. Do people hike from Maine to Georgia?
They do. Yeah, it's called like, so I did the trail northbound. And so I was called like a northbounder or a NOBO. But people do it. Yeah, there's acronyms for everything. And then people who go from Maine to Georgia, they're southbounders. And they usually start like in the summertime. And so a lot of them are actually probably finishing right now in Georgia. So you... So you kind of follow the weather that way instead.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
sounds good. Sounds good. We're going to stick on trails, Josh, as well.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the East Side Beltline in Atlanta.
Yes.
Now, I just looked online again, of course, as well, and this is another trail, but it's one of those more urban type trails.
Yeah.
So it looks pretty cool. East Side Beltline.
Yeah. So Katie, tell us. I guess this isn't like a off the beaten path kind of thing, but I like to run, and this has been since like when I first moved to Atlanta, this wasn't a thing, the Beltline, but it's basically they've moved all these or like made these railroad tracks or abandoned railroad tracks into trail for people to run on. And the East Side Beltline is like probably the most popular section of the Beltline. There's a lot of people around, and it's great for people watching. Like there's people like skating and skateboarding, and like there's always something, somebody with like music playing. It's just a good spot, and there's like parks along the way too. So,
and Josh, I'm just looking as well, it kind of like starts or finishes, depends on which way you're going, at the Atlanta Botanical Gardens.
Oh, nice.
So that's where it kind of like starts there. And then literally just, it goes through like a bit of an industrial area, industrial look. I've looked at some photos, and there's some like monuments and some other like artwork as well in the trail too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a lot
very cool.
A lot of murals and all kinds of artwork along the way. The plan is for it to be like a full circle and like all of the sections connect Atlanta, the different neighborhoods.
I like the actual end, Josh, too, down south where it ends. Is that the Shake Shack? So you can get your little...
Yeah.
Katie, where's your... now that we're kind of still talking about Atlanta here, where's your favorite place, you know, local place to eat, like non-chain favorite place to dine in the Atlanta area? If somebody's visiting, you're like, oh gosh, you got to stop there.
Yeah.
Like when Craig was here, I made him stop at Matt's bar so he could get an original Juicy Lucy.
Ooh.
What's the,
it was juicy.
What's
and
the
Lucy.
Thing?
You know, that's like Atlanta. One of the things they're known for is hot, like chicken wings.
Right.
And there's a place called The Local, and I think I need to double check because there's this development happening. It's actually by the Beltline, and they were bought out. But I think that something happened and the plan fell through. So they're still there for the time being. Oh, but wow. It's called The Local. It's actually called The Local, but they have the best chicken wings. Like, lemon pepper is the way to go.
Nice.
With some French fries. And you have to go because sometimes they run out because they're so popular. Oh. Like, so you have to go and be like, hey, and so they'll have a sign that says like, there's no more chicken wings. Sorry.
Yeah. It's sold out.
Yeah.
it's like the morning donut shops, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But yeah, it's a good spot. Yeah.
And you always know it's a good spot, Josh, too. We always say this is the biggest tip we have, as always, as well, is when you see a lineup of locals at a place, that's when you know it's good. That's when you know it's quality. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. All right. Is it my turn?
Yeah.
Is this still in Atlanta? Piedmont Park.
Yes, it still is. I figured I'd sprinkle because I've lived in Atlanta for a while. So
right.
Piedmont Park is also kind of connected to the Beltline, too, but it's like smack in the middle of Midtown Atlanta. And it's like, that's one of the things I love about Atlanta is the amount of trees and green space that it has. It's a good park to run in. There's like a lot of festivals that happen there. And it's just like, it's kind of hilly too. And there's some good spots to see the skyline and stuff. So it's nice.
Would you class that, Katie, as the central park?
Yeah, definitely. Atlanta? Yeah, definitely.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so it's very, it's really pretty cool. Large.
Oh yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, there's like a little pond. Like, I guess it's a lake. There's a little lake in there, and there's like a public pool, and there's like a they call it the Active Oval, and they do like a lot of adult leagues. Like, I played kickball. I had an adult kickball league that I played there, and that was a lot of fun.
That's really cool. Yeah. That's really cool. Katie, if you're a local to that area, you know what you should do, don't you? You should get inspiration from Central Park, New York. And Josh has done this as well. There's a multi in Central Park, New York. And it takes a full day called the Bridges and Arches Multi Geocache.
I saw him do that.
You were with him. That's right.
We did it together, Craig.
That's right.
Just briefly. Very briefly.
Yeah.
I wasn't there the whole time. Yeah. But.
She did do the whole thing, but she did part of it with us.
Yeah.
You need to recreate that, Katie, for your local area and put it in that park. That would really, really cool.
Yeah.
You don't have to do the coins and stuff like they do, but still, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was really cool that we got to do part of that together.
Know,
that
was
just
so random.
Happened to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Katie was in town and she just shows up at the geocaching event.
I'm
and then
like,
we.
Hey, y'all.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, y'all. See, there's an accent I love.
Fun
hey,
surprise.
Y'all. Hey, y'all. Next up, Josh, we have the Columbus in Georgia and the Riverwalk.
Yes.
So hometown.
Yeah, my hometown.
This is your hometown.
Yeah. Yeah. And I got to talk about, there's this big lore around, they just moved it. We have a cow statue by the Riverwalk, and her name is Katie the Cow. She used to be at, so our Best Buy was at a dairy, like the Best Buy building used to be a dairy farm or dairy factory. And so there was a cow in front of the Best Buy. And so now she lives downtown at the Riverwalk, which I just love because there's a little one too, and it got stolen. And there was a lot of talk on Facebook about like who stole Katie's daughter, the little cow. So that's, one of our, just pride and joys is our cow statue.
And it's named Katie.
Yeah, it is. It's not spelled the same way, but it is Katie the cow.
Josh, I'm looking at photos of this place. And if people listening to this, if you went to Owensboro, for instance, in Kentucky, where you and I were that time, and we did that talk up there itself as well, it's very similar, Josh, to that Owensboro walk along the river walk there at Owensboro.
Yeah.
It kind of looks very similar to that, like very picturesque, a lot of photos to be had. There's some nice greenery area, but then you've got the river on one side. It looks like a really nice place to literally do a daily walk, run, jog.
Yeah, it's bike, an awesome whatever you like. Spot. And they have the whitewater course, and a lot of people, there's like competitions, world competitions for kayaking right there at the end.
Cool.
It's a pretty cool spot, and it's like grown so much. Like in the last 10 years or so. So it's nice.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So what river is there, Katie?
It's the Chattahoochee.
Yeah.
Well, the no down by the Chattahoochee.
Don't know about the Chattahoochee.
Is that what it? Is that how it sounds? Is that what it's like?
Yeah, it's close. Yeah.
Yeah. Nah, no,
thank you.
Nah.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, number eight cracks me up.
I know, right?
And I'm ashamed to say I can't believe I've driven by so many. I don't know. Have I ever visited one? Oh my gosh, I don't.
I've been to one, Josh.
Maybe
I'm Australian,
once.
I've been to one.
Maybe once. You see, you have to understand. We don't have these in the north.
I know. It's such a shame.
That, Katie?
It's such a shame.
We don't have them. Like, oh, no, if you get up to Illinois and north, you don't see these.
No,
and that is
southern through and through.
Katie's number eight is any Waffle House.
Any of them. Not one in particular. Any of them at all. Any of them at all. It's Katie, tell us about the Waffle House experience. For those people who haven't, like Josh, who haven't been to a Waffle House or other overseas listeners, what would you describe a Waffle House being like?
Well, so it's, I guess it's like a diner, but... Mm-hmm. But with some flavor, I guess, I don't know, like some spice, and you never know what you're going to get when you walk in there. Yeah, it's, you know, you've got your, like, the counter, and you can go in and pretty much sit down, and they cook behind the counter. You can see everything that's going on, but you might not want to watch because it just might be too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The guy like rubs his nose and
I like to put it, Josh. I like to put it because I went to one. Where was I? I was in the middle of the country somewhere at the time. And I went to a random one because my wife at the time, she had to have a phone call with her work. So she said, get out of the car and to do her phone call. And I said, well, park me somewhere so I can get breakfast. So I got breakfast at this Waffle House. Now, I walked into this Waffle House, Josh, and to say I was out of place is just something like 100% out of place, let alone before I even spoke. And then I spoke and I said, g'day, guys, how are ya? And they're like, all their jaws dropped.
Yeah.
They stopped cooking and everyone turned around and I felt like I was glared at. To me, a Waffle House is like a New Jersey diner, but a Walmart version of New Jersey diner.
Yeah.
What
did you order when you were there? Do you remember?
So, yeah, and I got so much for free. They give me so many things for free because I was from Australia in the middle of America at a Waffle House. I think I just ordered like a bacon and egg sort of style for breakfast, the breakfast style, and they gave me the coffee as well. And then they gave me a free coffee to go, and then I said I hadn't even tried grits yet, so they gave me a bowl of grits to try the grits.
Did you like the grits?
Oh, yeah, it's like a porridge to me, the grits.
So good.
Yeah, I was like, oh, this is very similar to porridge. I said in Australia we'd have something similar to this called oats in the porridge, and we have it with either maple syrup and brown sugar through it as well. Yeah. So,
well, you know, that is a big debate with Southerners is do you put salt or do you put sugar in your grits?
Oh,
it's
really?
It's a big, major debate. I'm a salt person. I put
salt
and butter in my grits. And when you go to Waffle House, you can get your hash browns and you can get them smothered or covered or, you know, like you get all your toppings. That's the lingo. So
what's really clear about grits, because I've had them once, is that you have to put something on them because I tasted them and I was like, this is nothing. I just ate nothing.
Yeah.
Like nothing. It's like a rice that isn't a rice that tastes like nothing.
It's a grit. It's not a rice.
It's grits.
That's right, Josh. Yeah. It's grits.
I don't even know.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to know more about Waffle House, just Google. Just Google Waffle House. So I'm not going to put a link about Waffle House. Just Google Waffle House and have a look at the photo and have a look at videos and go from there.
Or just drive around for 5 minutes in the South and you'll find one.
Yeah,
exactly.
There's a
right.
street.
They're everywhere.
One in Atlanta. There's a Waffle House right next to each other on the same road. Like,
really?
Like across, like they're right next to each other. Yeah.
Josh, there's been Waffle House fights. I've seen chairs being thrown.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. And that's not from the customers. That's from the staff.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both. Yeah, it's definitely, it has a reputation. Like if you go out to the bars, like it's a place you would go after being out.
Yeah. It can get wild.
Yes.
It can get wild.
And they're open.
You know what?
They're open all the time. They never close.
Right.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
You know, when people down in the South got so excited about Buc-ee's, I didn't really like know why it was so great until I visited one.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, I get it.
It's an institution.
Buc-ee's is cool.
Yeah.
It's cool. So,
Katie, I'm proud to say that I was with Josh at the time when he experienced his first Buc-ee's.
Wow.
And his first brisket on the board.
I know, it's kind of like,
everyone bows down to the brisket. And now he knows why.
Yeah.
Katie, do you like Buc-ee's? Do you like Buc-ee's?
I do.
Katie?
Yeah. Like when I pass, when I stop, yes. Because there's two, I think there's two in Atlanta now, or in Georgia.
Really?
Yeah, there's one
north,
and then there's one in Macon.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. Next up, Josh, number nine we have, because we've got to get moving along. We're almost out of time.
Oh, yeah.
Cloudland Canyon. Cloudland Canyon. Yeah. That sounds really cool.
Yeah, it's a cool spot. It's in northwest Georgia, kind of right on the Tennessee line. So like Chattanooga, it's pretty close to Chattanooga, Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And it's different. It's a canyon. There's like a really, really cool waterfall. It's kind of like there's a lot of really cool waterfalls, but I think the one in Cloudland Canyon is one of my favorites. And it's really nice hike in the fall. And there's, yeah, it's just beautiful. It's beautiful up there. It's one of my favorites.
I'm looking, Josh, at the maps, and there's a lot of hiking trails, but there's also a state park disc golf area up there as well, which is pretty cool.
It is, yeah. I've done that one before, yeah.
You know, the pictures I've seen when I've driven through Georgia, the videos that you make, Katie, it seems like Georgia has a lot to offer.
Yes.
And it's just a beautiful state. Yeah. It's really beautiful.
Well, it's cool because you have like the mountains and then you have the coast over by Savannah. So you have the beaches.
Yep.
And then there's like literally wild horses on Cumberland Island. And I've never actually experienced that before. It's like maybe one day I'll go, but and then you have like the middle of Georgia, and there's like farms like everywhere, like just peanuts for miles.
Boiled peanuts, boiled all peanuts. You can eat.
Yes.
All you can eat all day.
And if you're going to buy them, by the sounds of it, Josh, you have to buy them from the side of the road.
Yeah.
Don't go into their stores.
Grungy kettle.
Yeah.
Grungy kettle.
Yeah. Yep.
The grungier the better.
That's the move.
Oh, Katie. Okay. Number 10. This cracks me up that this is on the list because I saw the photos on your Instagram and I saw this and I'm like, what the heck is this place? And it's Babyland General Hospital. Is this the place where like Cabbage Patch Dolls are born?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's not an actual hospital per se.
I don't know.
You can't take your children there.
It could be real. It could be real.
It's not like bruises. A hospital.
Okay. Please describe this because here's the thing. The reason it caught my attention is I'm a child of the 80s. And so I'm not ashamed to admit it. You know, in 1985, 84, I was like 6 or 7 years old.
Yeah.
And I had a Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah.
I had one.
Yeah.
And when you get a Cabbage Patch doll, it comes in a box and you have a little adoption form and you sign the adoption form and it's your baby. But the lore is that they're raised, like they're born in an actual Cabbage Patch.
Every single one.
And I think you found it.
Yes.
I think you found it and it's in Georgia. Is that what this is?
Yes. Okay. So you're driving, it's in North Georgia. And you drive up and it's like this massive white, like colonial style building, like huge. And you've got these like really strange, like white sculptures on the outside of like cabbages with like the baby heads coming out of the cabbage. So
it's funny.
You go inside and it feels like it hasn't changed since the 80s. It like the design and like the just the marketing materials and the signs and everything, it hasn't changed one bit. And so I don't even know how to describe what I saw. Like
like there was like a hospital room.
Yes, so they have adoption rooms where you sign the paperwork and there's this big beautiful tree. And around the tree are these cabbages, and the baby, the Cabbage Patch Kid head, is on the cabbages around this tree.
Yeah,
and
like popping out.
Yeah, and you can also buy like clothes, and you can like there's little stations where you can like dress them and give them a bath, and.
This is next year. Josh, I'm looking at photos here, and you know what? Katie is going off her memory, and her memory is absolutely spot on.
Okay, Katie, is this connected to the actual official Cabbage Patch toy, or is it just some janky place where somebody's like, I'm gonna make a buck off this, and I'm gonna make a Cabbage Patch world, but like it doesn't seem legal.
Yeah, no, it is fully
like they can be sued.
It is fully.
It's
connected.
Fully connected.
This is where like it is not where they sew the like because I think they've changed, like there might be a factory somewhere else or something, but this is actually connected to the Cabbage Patch Kid. They have like a wall of like the vintage ones that were originally made, because like the newer ones have like plastic heads now, but but the original ones were like full fat, like kind of scary in my opinion.
Yeah, I know. I remember.
Yeah. And so what happens is like every 45 minutes they have a birthing ceremony.
What?
And everyone, oh, and by the way, everyone is dressed like nurses. Like some of them look like vintage.
Do they make you? Do they make you dress like a nurse?
No. Just
just the people that work there?
People that work there. And so you have the nurse that comes out and she announces to everybody that a birth is about to happen. And
okay.
And she there's like this tube of medicine that, and they call it a magicillin. And she said that, you know, all the terms like from like a birth she was using, she's like, the, you know, the tree is dilated 4 leaves apart.
What?
And, and she reaches down into the cabbage and she tells I'm not kidding when I say, oh, and she did a sonogram and it showed in the tree like the heartbeat and like if it was a boy or a girl, and she announced the gender of the baby. And then she reaches down in the cabbage and she pulls out the Cabbage Patch Kid and it's born. And then she takes it to the nursery where they have to recover. And so you wait. And so you can buy the exact Cabbage Patch
doll that was birthed.
That was just born.
You saw the birth.
Yes.
And Josh, I'm looking as well at photos. And there is, when Katie says the nursery, it is like an old school nursery where there's a big like plexi window, whatever else as well. But Josh, there's the babies in their cribs and stuff or whatever. But there's a big stalk in there, Josh. There's a big stalk and they're looking after the Cabbage Patch dolls.
Oh like, my gosh.
I mean, it really is. Craig. It's kind of it just is like a fever dream. I was like, what just happened? And when I left, I was with my friend Amelia and I just looked at her and was like, what did we just experience? What just happened?
Do you have to pay to get in?
No, you just can go in. Yeah. And they've got a wall of celebrity pictures that are signed. And I don't know if it's like people that have been there or if it's just like signed photos. I don't know.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. Wow. First of all, Craig, we got to go here.
Yeah, we have to.
Like, I can't believe I've never even seen a TikTok video of this place.
Nor can I.
And it sounds like 1,000 times cooler than Build-A-Bear. Like,
yes.
Like they got something. Like they've really got, they're onto something here. How long have they been, have they had this place going since the 80s?
I think so. Yeah. Or, well, maybe I didn't look because we felt like kind of weird in there. Like there was like it looks like it was an old like house, like an old estate or something. So
okay.
I don't know.
Katie, are you sure that you didn't visit like some weird, strange cult? And this wasn't actually anything like that. It sounds really weird, and I want to visit.
I know that's the sole reason. I was like, if anything, I want to visit this place the whole weekend.
Josh.
Oh, wow.
Babyland General Hospital opened in 1978.
What?
1978, this thing opened. So, yes, it's been there, and it's in the exact same place. Yeah. Hasn't moved since 1978.
That's why it's so old. It's, like, weird.
Well, I can't – yeah, it sounds 70s. I can't believe that it still exists because, like, I don't think Cabbage Patch dolls are still popular.
Not really,
like,
no.
Like, I don't know any kid that's, like, Christmas, Mommy, I want a Cabbage Patch doll. Really?
Josh, let's be honest. This is there because of our age group. You know what I mean? Like the 30s and 40s.
It's nostalgia.
This nostalgia. That's what they're there.
Yeah. Okay, wait. Katie, right, who was there? Like what kind of people were there?
So there was a mixture of little like families with younger kids. And then I feel like there was also a group of people that like my friend and I were there because we were just kind of fascinated by it. And there was like another group of like college aged kids that were just like giggling the whole time. Then I saw like a family, like 3 separate generations. They all were holding their Cabbage Patch Kid doll And the youngest, the daughter, like the youngest generation, she was getting her first doll. And so like the grandma, the mom, and then the little girl, they were all there. And oh, it was wow. like kind of like a, I mean, it seemed like a tradition, a I guess. I don't know. Yeah. Or a ritual.
You say tradition, I say ritual.
Yeah. But yeah, it was Josh, a mix of people.
I do think, Josh, we've left the best till last. Katie, you did a good
this
job.
This was number one. You know, you this said it wasn't one. In any particular order, but I'm thinking this one is number one, baby.
Number one.
We've Treasures of our town. The Babyland General Hospital. You heard it here first.
Exactly.
Go right. there. Now,
as I said before, all the links are going to be in the show notes itself, including Katie's YouTube channel, etc. Well, thank you so much, Katie, for joining yeah. us. It is I have to wrap it up because it's getting later and later as we speak. So I have to wrap it up. We could talk forever and ever and ever, especially about this Babyland.
You Josh, know what? Have to go there. You know what, though? Before What's we're it? Done talking about Georgia, I just want to say one thing about it. One more thing.
Okay.
Yes. Listening to Katie and listening to all the things that she's experienced in Georgia, it is very clear that she's proud of her state.
Yes.
She's so proud of it. That, you know, Craig, that's a rare thing these days.
I've heard, Josh. Katie, if you hadn't listened to our podcast, he always has to get that in sometime during the podcast. Yes, always. And what happens is some people listen to the podcast up until the point where he says that. So I'm happy you could last this time, not first.
Do you know what movie? Do you know what movie that's from, Katie?
I don't know.
She wouldn't, it's, Josh. She's too young.
No, she should. Her parents should have shown her this movie. It's from Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. Oh, it is a travel movie.
Yeah, okay.
Mm. When they're in Wichita and they're in the cab and they take him the long way around. He's like, "Well, it's the middle of the night." And then John Candy goes, "He's proud of his town." It's a rare it's thing these days.
Like that. That's Josh's tagline. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, that's the tagline of this podcast. We're making shirts. I think
we're making, yeah, exactly. And Miller High Life, but anyway, we don't have them just yet. But we don't have any sponsors, Josh, but we do have Patreons, and we have a brand new patron as well, Gary Neese.
So G-Niece. Thank you very much,
G-Niece.
He is, I believe, he is a super fan of Gilby.
Oh,
that's and that was our last episode. So
that's right, it was too. So that's why.
Love that. Thanks, Jerry. Yeah. Appreciate you. So if you have been enjoying our podcast, we really appreciate your support. By supporting us, you're helping us to create even better content and keep it free for everyone. So please consider joining our Patreon at patreon.com/treasuresofourtown. Wow, I struggled this week.
That's okay, Josh. It's okay. You've had a busy week working.
It has been busy. I've used many words this week.
But those people, though, who think to themselves, oh, I might join Patreon, I might, but you know what, I want to give it a try first. Josh, now they can. We have a free tier.
What?
Of membership. Yeah. I've created a free tier membership so they can come, they can get some of the golden nuggets, not all of them, but some of the golden nuggets.
Not all the nugs.
Not all the nugs, but they can get some free first.
Yeah.
And then
they don't get the sweet sour sauce.
No. They don't even get salt. They just get the salt like Katie does on her grits. That's it. That's all they get. Exactly. So, Josh, on our next episode, we actually chat with a fellow podcaster and traveler. His name is Jeff Wagg, and he has unique travel plans in his van. How can people contact us, Josh, if they need to, though?
Feel free to reach out at us. Reach out and tell us what you think. We want this to be a two-way conversation at treasuresofourtownpodcast@gmail.com, or follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube.
So that's it for our show today. And thank you so much, Katie, for joining us as well. Please subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcasting app. And as always, Josh,
may your travels always lead you in the most unexpected and amazing hidden gems around the world, like the Babyland General Hospital.
And until next time, we've got to let Katie say this. Katie, you've got to say your tagline. Bye. Say.
Oh, this is my turn? Okay. Bye.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.